You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We couldn't do this podcast without our sponsors, and this season we are delighted to welcome Mindful Chef. Mindful Chef, it has to be said, have been mentioned previously on our podcasts, not least because a number of recordings have been interrupted by Mark's doorbell ringing for the latest delivery. Woody, you've been a fan of the Mindful Chef. What is your absolute favourite?
I have. Well, you get a different choice nearly every time, so you don't pick the same one. You can pick a wide range of recipes. Dead quick, easy, come in nicely packaged, open them up, and the recipe is dead simple to follow. It's done in less than, you know, 30 minutes, 20 minutes, and you have a lovely meal. So my favourite would probably be the chicken mango curry. I've made that a couple of times without the recipe now because I'm so used to it, but that was definitely one of our early favourites.
So it's also very convenient. You can have your weekly shop done in 5 minutes. Essentially, dinner on the table in as little as 50 minutes, perhaps even quicker if you're Mark Wood and you don't even need to follow the recipes anymore. This guy, he really sounds like a keeper. They are high in protein and fibre, low in carbs, so shouldn't slow you down. Essentially, they make healthy eating easy by delivering nutritionally balanced meals straight to your door. They are ethical. The ingredients are sustainably sourced. And as Woody can attest to, they are of amazing quality. Am I right, Woody?
Are you hungry?
Is that a genuine question, or are you in your advert voiceover man mode?
That was my advert voice. Is that not clear?
It was so good, but I suddenly thought maybe that's the way you ask questions relating to food.
Do you need a chef that's mindful?
Can I finish your honey gut loops? That's sort of trying to imagine things that you sashay around the kitchen saying. Mindful Chef will also donate a meal to a child in poverty for every meal that is ordered. They have already surpassed 15 million meals. To get 25% off across your first four Mindful Chef boxes, go to mindfulchef.com/middleplease or use the code middleplease at checkout. That's middleplease, all one word with no spaces. It's completely flexible, there's no tie-in, and you can cancel any time. So go to mindfulchef.com/middleplease to try it for yourself. Mark Wood, how the hell are you?
Hello, Miles Jupp, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good, but I have not been playing in a very exciting Ashes match.
I mean, have you not?
I've not, no, I've checked.
Have you not been in the back garden? Have you not maybe had your Mike Atherton game out?
I've played, that is a great game. It's just here. Mike Atherton's World Cup cricket that I was given in our fabulous trip to Ashington. I absolutely love being up there. Mm. But I found it quite surreal recently to think, you know, seeing you in that game at Headingley, and then thinking, oh yeah, we were just sort of sat in a couple of bar stools talking nonsense, I guess, as we are doing now. This is the first time I've spoken to you since the game because of, let's face it, your refusal to pick up messages. I dare say a few people have been getting in contact with you, Mark, mainly to say well done, that was very exciting. How are you feeling bodily?
Good, yeah. I've had a nice few days off. I haven't done very much at all. I mentally prepare myself to bowl and do some weight and go running. But actually, I've just had a few days. I've been in the gym today, but apart from that, I've had a few days just mentally de-stressed, decomposed, from what was the, you know, highly pressurized situation. Back in the team, desperate to do well, put my body through it when I hadn't played a lot of cricket. So I'm really, really pleased with how it's all gone.
Well, it was great to see you out there, and the mighty Chris Wokes, who had
delighted for Wokes. You know what? As well, I was absolutely over the moon. I was out there with him at the end, like for like being such a close friend. He'd come back in the team as well, and like that will now be a memory for the both of us for the rest of our life. Which I think is a lovely feeling, really, to think that, you know, we've got to share that where he whacked the winning runs at the end. And like in 20 years' time, I'm like, remember at Henley when you crushed it through the covers for four and we won the game? That's a great, great thing to see.
Yeah, yeah. It was glorious. I mean, I found this summer so tense to watch. I don't know quite how you cope with being in the midst of it, really. When things don't go our way, I instantly turn off the radio, turn off the telly. Some of the most exciting passages of plays I've literally just watching a commentary on Crick Info, because I can't quite bear, if I sit down to watch it, I can't cope. And then you're listening and pacing around or whatever it might be. But
so which bits have you found most tense so far? We've had three games. Which bits have you really struggled with?
Do you know what? Watching our batting in the first test, I think when Stokes was out in the first innings, going quite hard at one outside off, that was the first time I've turned the television off. The third test, there was one thing. This morning I am going to watch it. I've got the morning off. I'm going to watch. I watched two balls, the second of which was Joe Root being called at slip off Cummins. Oh, that's gone off again. My Now TV subscription has not been worth it, this thing. And then, do you know what? The end then of the Headingley game was me. I was commentating in the kitchen to Rachel, my wife. I was trying to. I just kept going up and looking at it, and I was going, oh no, this has happened. Oh, he's out now. Oh, what? He's hit a six. He's hit a six. Marcus. He's hit a six. He's hit a six. I don't believe this. And then, because on that, you get what's happened, and then you have to wait and refresh a bit to see. So that the most tense passage of play was me in the kitchen following what I could have been listening to on the radio or watching on the television, was me just refreshing my mobile phone next to the sink going, oh, I can't believe this. What a time to be out. Whatever it might be. But where was your head at then during that? Are you just totally focused?
Well, it was honestly a lot easier in the middle. I know you're facing world-class bowlers and it's fast and it's hard. But it was, when you watch, I think like when you're waiting to bat, it's all the what-ifs. What was I messed this up? What was if I play a stupid shot? What was if I let everybody down? You know, what happens if I get hit or I get injured? Or, you know, there's all those 100 things that are passing through your head are going through like every ball, the ball's bowled. So you're thinking, right, if Wokesy gets out here, how am I going to play with Harry Brook? Am I going to look at duck and dive, or should I just wear a few, or what should I do? But when he got out, it actually made it a lot clearer for me walking out, because I was like, well, I'm batting with Wokesy. You know, no disrespect to him, but he's not like, he can bat, obviously, but he's not like a Harry Brook who basically the rest of the order were going to be pinning their hopes on. It was like, right, Wokesy's in.
But he is an all-rounder.
Yeah, so it was like, work together. Let's work together and see how we can get this down, rather than thinking, right,
come on, let's work together.
Yeah. Whereas if I went out with Brookie, I'd very much feel the second
fiddle.
Just playing the second hand. Yeah. So being there with Wokesy, I could very much, you know, bounce off him and feed ideas to each other. What do you think about this? And I was very... I wanted it badly. I was like in the zone. I could feel that I wanted it.
But are you, how aware of you of the crowd and stuff? You know, have you watched The Last Dance, the thing about the Chicago Bulls?
Yeah.
Amazing bit when someone is describing just Michael Jordan's ability to really be in the moment, which is kind of what, you know, the entire mindfulness industry or whatever would be about now, just attempting to achieve. How you're there, you know what's at stake. There's a big crowd. Presumably the noise is unbelievable. You can almost feel people's nerves, even there on the boundary's edge. How do you stay in the moment there, or do you not even want to think about that? Do you just think, I was in it and that's all that matters?
No, there's two instances that come to my mind. There's one, Wokesy speaking to me, and I totally remember clear as day. He came around the wicket, Cummins, and it was just maybe it was after him for six or the ball after that, and he'd said to me, be careful of the wide one. So I remember clear as day thinking, right, because your nerves are going, your adrenaline's flying, you could just swing at everything. But then I remember the next one was wider and I left it. And that's when I knew that I was thinking clearly.
Yeah.
So that was probably the first time where I thought, now I'm on here. This is like, keep watching the ball, make a good decision. You'll be fine. And then the other thing I remember from that is Cummins bounces me, and the one where I hit him for six, you know, remember, so I'd faced one ball, that was my second ball. I remember thinking, right, if this is there, that's a short, that's the short side. I believe I can hit that ball for six. And I know that sounds so arrogant, but like at the time, I remember tapping my bat, and I remember, right, get your hands high, make sure that they're high. I remember as I was tapping my bat, I felt like my hands being tight on the bat, because I was actually like up for it, like, come on, then bang it in us. And then I remember thinking, nah, relax, watch the ball, you'll be fine. And then when I managed to get some sort of connection and saw it went for six, I felt, that's when I then felt the crowd. I've hit it, I realise that it's going, then that's a split second pause, then the crowd come in. And I sort of like just remember that enjoyment of the, like as the ball had gone for six, it was really loud. But then again, 10 seconds later, I've switched back into what I'm doing, because Wokesy's saying, be careful of the wide one, don't go like, and the next ball I left, which was great from a tactical point of view.
It's amazing the way your mind, that you're, you know, do you remember when we interviewed Paul Collingwood and we were asking about the, you know, when he caught Hayden off Harmison and him, and me being amazed when he said, oh, as he hit it towards me, I thought, oh, I think I've got a chance of catching this. I mean, that thing has got it, and that's been about 0.0025 seconds. The idea that you have time to think, oh, I reckon I can get this if I just jump, you know, 4 feet off the air and stick it. It's, you know, that sort of clarity of thought that you have. The other thing, Woody, I mean, and listen, everybody loved you being out there at the end. You and Wakes go, that was such a glorious end of the game. But, you know, your spell at the beginning, just, you know, I'm not you, and I got text messages about how good you are. I mean, people were just, you know, it was extraordinary. It's so great to just to see you back, you know, and that just roaring in. And it must feel, God, it must feel incredible.
Well, a couple of people had asked us, is that the fastest you've brought? And like, honestly, it felt great. But again, I felt in the moment, I was in the match. I didn't overly feel I was playing. I mean, the speed came up a couple of times. I mean, the 96 one came up and all the crowd went, oh. But it's weird because it's a double-edged sword of that. So you think, right, I feel great here. I'm running on charger. But I hadn't got a wicket by that stage. So you can easily look at it, which way, well, he's bowling fast, but he's not getting a wicket. Or, you know, I feel great. Stick at this. It'll come. So it's that sort of, in your mind, you've got one on one shoulder telling you one thing, one on the other. And often the one that, the outcome or the way that the game goes often determines which one you're listening to. You know, I could easily have been like, I'm bowling fast, but I'm not getting away. And then you try too hard and you end up leaking runs or, you know, it doesn't happen for you. But I managed to, right, I feel great. Just keep sticking to what you're doing. I'm trying to shape the ball back. Pushing back. Right, this is the ball. Give it everything you've got. Swing it in as fast as you can and see if we can get a wicket. And luckily, it doesn't always happen like that, but luckily
you got seven of the balls. Yeah. The voice is on your head, on your shoulder, you know, the goodie and the baddie. are they sort of the same, different sides of the same person? Are they two very distinct, different warring personalities?
Yeah, the warring personalities. One say, drink your milk, Mark. It'll make your bones healthy and strong. The other one's like, fall over, destroy all the bones. So it works in both ways.
It is, yeah. It's very difficult, isn't it, being sponsored as you are by both the Milk Marketing Board and the Spirit of Osteoporosis. It's very... So that's surreal. It's a real yin and yang.
Obviously, there's the fear element and the physical element of, oh, I might get hit or hurt facing Pat Cummins and Mitchell Starc at 90 mile an hour. But
that would be my predominant feeling.
And everyone has that, so you're not alone. But do you think you would have been clear on what you were trying to do? Or do you think, for most people, do you think the moment, because that's what you train for. So basically, when I'm speaking to you, I haven't like done anything special. I've gone back to what I practiced. So do you think you would have been the same, or do you think you would have just been... Because you've been like done massive theatres in front of thousands and thousands of people. Do you think that is similar, or do you think you were reverted? Like, how would you have dealt with it?
Well, I suppose you're building up to it, aren't you? When you train or whatever, when you're bowling and you're batting or whatever, it's about sharpening those instincts. So when it happens, you do it by reflex. And I kind of think there's a moment when you first do it, you know, like a new, I'm thinking of doing a new stand-up tour next year. And then, you know, even now, if you think, right, with the first dates, you've got, you know, hopefully a busy theatre, you're going out there.
you know, am I match fit? You do loads of previews to get match fit, and it's the same sort of thing. And then you have a moment where you're going through it and you think, oh, I've done this theatre before, this is nice, this is fun. And then, you know, my last tour, which was about 6 years ago, final show, London Palladium. So you're like, oh gosh. But then in the wings, you think, no, come on, I've done this show, I've been doing this, I've been on the road for however many weeks. What I'm going to do, I know it's the Palladium, but it's also, this is a show. And so I just have to go out and do that thing that I did. So there you've got muscle memory coming in. I'm not thinking, oh, I've got to do something different because I'm here. You know, I'm going, no, I am. If there ever there was occasion for me to go out and do that thing that I already do, this is that moment. And do you know who was in the audience that night, Mark?
I'm going to go with...
You've got 1,600 people to choose from, minimum. But in particular, the one I'm thinking of who has been on this podcast.
Nathan Kosky.
The very reverent notorious DIG was there. Bless him.
Yes, Mr. Gower.
Yes, was Cowdrey. I've just noticed at the corner of my eye, do you remember we were recording a podcast and I was eating some Ferrero Rocher and you said, save one for me?
Mm.
I have done. It's been here. It's been sitting here ever since. Anyway, it's still in my line. It's still in my line of vision. I haven't forgotten you, Woody, and I should have brought it with me when I came to Ashington.
I've seen that in the press, that me and Chris Wilkes have been getting a lot of, as they call it in comments, bromance. Clicks with the story coming out about me giving Wooksy chocolate digestives and him feeding me Ferrero Rochers as in some sort of like chocolate love advert.
It's that thing called slash fiction where people write sort of, it's like fan fiction, but it's sort of sexual fantasies involving real life people. All I'm saying is don't Google, Mark. Never Google yourself. But you two do get on well, and that's part of what's the glory of it. I never forget his startled face when he did that walk around. Do you remember the one when you just walked around? I can't remember where you were. And he just
went, Bangladesh.
Is this live? Really kind of panicked look on his face. He was great. You know, much as I've been championing the bit for you to get out there, I also could not believe that Wokes hadn't made it into an 11 up until Headingley. So I was so thrilled to see. You know, as we speak, today is the fourth anniversary of the 2019 World Cup final, isn't it?
That is right. And I wasn't the only one there.
No, that's right. But middle place umpire, as it turns out, was very well represented that day. Have you had a lot of cards from people saying congratulations on your World Cup anniversary?
No, but I have searched the photo and I still am yet to find you. I mean, I'm desperate just to find you at the back of that stand as we're lifting the trophy.
All you need to find is just a white middle class guy with a blue shirt and a Panama hat, Mark. I have to say. I do sometimes worry
that hard.
I do worry that you're not looking hard enough. No, I am absolutely just part of the sort of pink mush of that crowd.
So, all right. So, what were you more nervous at, the World Cup final or this last week at Headingley?
Do you know what? I find when you're in the ground, I find it actually more bearable because although you can have no. You just feel a connection with it and you are aware that other people are feeling the same thing. And, you know, you lean forward in your chair and come on. You know that the people either side and you can see and feel that other people are in that same position. Watching like a stressful moment in the series when you are on your own and you don't, I find it much worse. I think with the crowd, it can kind of absorb, you know, and that's part of the joy of being in a big crowd. Rachel and I went to see Blur at Wembley Stadium last weekend and just... Part of the great thing about it was just being in a large crowd of people thinking we're all watching and loving the same thing. And I think that helps in those nervous situations, that there's a sort of sense of kind of comradeship. But on your own watching, just absolutely terrifying. So being at the World Cup final, nerve-wracking as it was, it wasn't unbearable. Whereas watching some of this series from afar has really genuinely been beyond me.
Do you think we'll do it? Do you think we're going to pull it off?
I think you've got to.
There's no other choice.
In the words of Freddie Flintoff, we've got to. We've got to. And I think that, yeah, you've got no choice. And also, I mean, it's a hard thing to do, but it's also all you can do is go to just do your absolute hardest, can you? Just charge in.
I was buzzing, obviously, at the end of the game, and we stayed for, like, in the dressing room together, which is always great when you win and you have a drink together, you celebrate together. You talk about the game.
What do you have? A sort of a berry tea or something like that?
No, I
some coconut water.
Have a cocktail of a mixture of blends in the dressing room, maybe some soil from the ground, you know, to keep me grounded. Maybe a Ferrero Rocher blend in there. You know, a mixture of my favourite things, just to really, you know, cement my place in that.
A lot of things that really, you thank God for the Nutribullet, because a lot of those pebbles, they wouldn't, you know, they don't dissolve.
Yeah, but we celebrated lovely, and all I could think of, so when I went home that night to get back, I got back really late, but to when I got back, all I could think of in the car on the way home was this music from The Great Escape, and thinking right. about, here we go, there's two games left, The Great Escape, it's on.
Yeah, yeah.
3-2. The trumpet I had been playing at that day of the Barmy Army, and now I'm thinking, it's on here.
It's on. You've got to, well, listen, hopefully this time you will make it into Switzerland. That's effective. That's effectively what you've got to do, Woody.
Yeah.
We've played ourselves out. That's all we need to do there. That's fantastic. This has been Middle Please Umpire. I've been Miles Chapp, and as ever, I've been talking to England's glory boy, 96.5 miles an hour, Asherton's very own, Mr. Mark Wood. Goodbye, Mark.
Goodbye, Miles Chapp.
Oh, should be taken, and is taken. Brilliant from Mark Wood. What a spell this has been.
Podcast Network.